Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Host Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, all the latest gaming coverage, developer interview, the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
E3 2016 coverage starts now.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, and this is E3 2016 Day 2, and I'm here with the crew. Let's start with Pete Rock. Pete!
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. We got a lot of content up, man.
How was your Day 2 of E3?
It was good. I was working really hard today, man.
I mean, we all were.
But I was doing, like, the documentary and GTR at the same time, so it was good. It was really good.
Good for you. I have a cupcake at the apartment.
Oh, really?
But not for you.
For who?
For me.
Wow. That's cold. Very cold. That was a tease. And also Paris is joining us. Paris.
I ate my cupcakes already because they're delicious, because they're from Sprinkles. And I also have to say, why you got to also throw in that you're doing the documentary? So you're basically trying to say that you're doing twice the work that the rest of us
are
doing.
No, it was a lot of work.
You know, why you have to throw
dude,
that in there?
I'm just saying.
Why you got to make us feel bad?
I worked a lot, man.
And then, as we recorded last night, just so everyone knows, Danny tried to force us to go get, like, waffles and syrup and butter and
I was hungry,
fried
dude.
Chicken and
I
all
was
this
really
stuff.
Hungry
and I'm
last
like,
night,
no,
dude.
That's not healthy at 1 o'clock in the morning. But he didn't care, and he kept trying to make us do it, and I refused.
Well, next time. Come on, join me,
it's
man. Join the movement. We just go across the street to Denny's, and we're good.
No.
Okay. E3. It's not E3 anymore.
We had E3 today. We did have E3 today.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
it was
dude,
much
we have
better
to talk about
E3
that
than before.
Yeah, it wasn't the garbage eat 1 o'clock in the morning 3 you wanted.
All right. But we have special guests, right, Paris? So, yeah, I know you have a person here. You want to introduce yourself, please?
Hi. I'm Mona. I am a freelance writer for IGN and sometimes Polygon, and I do media personality for The Game Fanatics.
Awesome. And this is your first E3?
My second
E3. Second E3. So. Oh, interesting. All right, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. And also, we have the crew here. Introduce yourself.
This is Cicero Holmes, a.k.a. Stubby Stan of the Spawn On Me podcast. This is my first E3. I didn't get to have an E3 because Paris bought the last cupcake that I wanted.
So, okay. You know how we always talk about let us dream and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So it was my idea to go to Sprinkles, and they had one strawberry cupcake left, and I took it because it was my dream, Cicero, not yours.
And he won the battle.
He was looking at me for real like, yo, dog, you going to take the last one?
Yeah.
And I was like, you damn right I'm going to take the last one. This is my dream.
I had the sad face, man. Like, I mean, look, this is my first time. You had Sprinkles before. I mm-hmm. never had Sprinkles.
Yeah, man. Come on. You got to show love, man.
You got to show love. I'm new in town.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
No.
The best Sorry. Response, though, is as we were leaving Sprinkles and we're walking by Gold's Gym and everybody's pumping weight and getting sweaty.
Oh,
and
man.
Paris is walking by and he's looking at that box and you can see the regret wash over his face. Oh my God, it was so worth it. I will be posting a picture of that later tonight.
Yes, please
so
post that it, will man. Be going up. And also, we have another special guest here.
What's up, everybody? Khalif Adams of the Spawn on Me podcast, the El Capitan of the show. What is going on, y'all?
Game the return. Right? You were here last year.
Thanks for letting me come back, man. I was surprised that I got back into the building because somebody over there, Mr. 40-something over there, you know, hating on me. Hating King over there.
Hating King.
Speaking of the Hayden King, we'll have some Destiny news in a little bit.
Oh, wait, is it exclusive?
No.
It's all good, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and head over to play.it/gamertag and listen to the show there. And make sure to share it. Right, guys? Share it?
Yeah, share it out.
Share it out.
Sharing is caring.
Yes. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. So how was your day two of E3?
Who wants it first?
Ladies first.
Well, it was actually really good. I got to watch a game, the demo for Watch Dogs 2, mm-hmm. which I was really excited for because the first Watch Dogs it wasn't that great. So I went in with high hopes and they actually exceeded my expectations for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing I was really excited for. But the only thing I'm trying to get into is the Zelda booth.
That was pretty hard.
The line was super long. It was
I heard it was like
half.
4 hours today.
Yeah, they shut that thing down at noon, I think.
At noon?
At noon, I heard it was getting shut down. People weren't going to be on the line anymore.
So I might go in early tomorrow to check that one out because mm-hmm. everyone's like raving about it. And they give you a really cute like Zelda coin, which I'm super pumped about for some reason.
Oh, you're going to see eBay. People are going to be selling that eBay.
Be selling it.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. What about you guys? Spawn on me, man.
Yeah, day two was great. What did we see? We saw Lawbreakers today. Lawbreakers is dope.
A lot of people have been saying that, man.
People are going to sleep on Lawbreakers. Yeah. They shouldn't because it's dope.
Yeah, like, Lawbreakers.
The game is on point.
Yeah.
Nice.
What else? Friday the 13th we saw?
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. I like the concept.
Yeah.
It's funny. Very pre-alpha, though.
It's very, very early.
Yeah. They have a lot of stuff to do, but the concepts and kind of foundation that they're working on.
Yeah.
It feels like they understand. They know the story. They know the lore. And they're kind of working that real, real hard. We had some fun stuff that we got to be able to kind of talk to and some dope people that we actually got to meet because of that.
Yes. Yeah. We've got some exclusives.
Exclusives. Oh, man, that's like shots fired right there.
Exclusives. Yeah.
And also, Paris, you also got to see a couple of games today.
The one that intrigued me the most was over at Focus Interactive was Vampire, that new game that's, I believe, they did say it's coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very immersive. It's different enough. It has a Mass Effect, but also kind of a Vampire Masquerade feel to it in that you are able to make various, choices on the direction that the flow of the game can go. But just in a nutshell, you're a newly created vampire. You're in this, ancient London, but like Victorian London.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this disease that's going around that's creating these half vampire, half mutant creatures, and you're trying to figure out why. But at the same time, you're also struggling with keeping the balance of having humans that you feed on versus trying to keep your humanity and not turn into this monster. And then the whole time is you're going through this thing of you're trying so hard to not become the monster, but the fact that you're resisting it is pushing you even further to become that monster.
Mm-hmm.
And just the demo that they showed, it was very fascinating. It really made me want to check out this game when it comes out next year, just for the story point alone.
Nice.
I mean, it's something, like I said, something different.
Mm-hmm. I got to see Tekken 7.
Please
today.
Tell me about it, please.
Dude, it's really good. I'm not a fighting fan at all.
Right.
I'm into, other type of games, but this is legit, man. And Akuma, they did a great job, man. Like, the design and basically his moves from Street Fighter is in the game, man. Exactly how it is, man.
What about Tekken? Are you a Tekken fan?
Never been a Tekken fan. Okay. But it got my attention, man.
Okay.
It got my attention. And it's coming out for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and believe Steam also.
Right. And then if you buy that, if you pre-order, you get Tekken Tournament as well.
Yes.
As a bonus.
I thought you tried it the other night at
the
showcase, right?
I did. I just wanted to hear your opinion because I know you're not a fighter fan. So.
It's really good. I had a blast.
Sweet.
A lot of fun. What about you? You got to see anything anything good? Or?
Yeah, I got a chubby earlier today for Attack on Titan. It was amazing.
Peter.
Wait. What's going on? Why everybody's cracking up?
Peter and his chubby.
Peter know what he said.
I know what I said.
He knows what he said.
Oh God!
Continue, please.
No, Attack on Titan. It blew the expectation out of the water. Mm-hmm. Considering the last attempt for an Attack on Titan game was not well received, and it was pretty poor in what we got as a gaming populace. But oh yeah, it made me feel like I was in a video game. Or actually, I'm sorry, it made me feel like I was in the actual anime. You know, because, you know, running around with Aaron, mm-hmm. flying around with your gear suit, and then, like, when you launch your gear suit and spikes launch you and you're flying across, it's literally like you're watching a cartoon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're a fan of the Attack on Titan, obviously you're gonna enjoy this. So mm-hmm. I'm stoked. I can't wait.
For you, Spawn on Me and Mana, like, this year is your first year, so you might not gonna notice the changes, but. You were here last year.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your second time.
Yeah, yeah.
E3 and U2. Any differences compared to the previous year? Because, I mean, besides the whole booth thing, but, like, I noticed the South Hall was very, like, empty compared to, like, last year. It was still packed, you know. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I felt like last year there was a lot more people. But yeah. This year it wasn't as crowded, and I think it could be that EA also hosted their own event outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there wasn't a ton of news as last year. Last year there was a ton of things happening and a lot of exciting news. So this year there isn't really a lot.
I think it was only the consoles and VR, and that's
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah. It's just like the console rumors with Microsoft and Sony. But other than that, it wasn't anything massive.
And it didn't feel like there was a lot of buzz around the kind of floors either, which we had a lot of last year. It feels like the stuff that got shown in the conferences kind of filtered its way into the floor a little bit last year, and it didn't feel like that at all this year.
Like, besides, everything is behind closed doors.
It was like a lot of people got to see a lot of stuff before, or they weren't going to be able to kind of see it, and it was a weird kind of vibe on the floor, especially in the South Hall.
Your predictions from next year, like, what do you think is going to happen with E3, with these, all these changes? Are going to return to how it is, or are they going to make major changes, or...
I don't know. I mean, isn't that the million-dollar question right now? Everybody's been trying to figure out, you know, is it going to be the last one? Mm. You know, is it going to still be at this spot?
I think it's way too early in the game to say that this is going to be the last one. I mean, something this huge, mm-hmm. even if it is in its death throes, still has 2 or 3 years left. Before it goes away, I think that if you look at E3 as a mall, there are still the anchor stores in E3, and that's Microsoft and Sony. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe they, you know, maybe some of the other stores have gone away, but there are all these other retailers and VARs that are out there. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see smaller people come up and get bigger spaces in those areas. So if it is coming to an end, it'll be a little while before it's completely gone.
I agree with you. I can't believe.
Yeah, I know.
I do think within the next 2 to 3 years, E3 is going to be gone. I mean, that South Hall is sad to me. I go to the South Hall right now and go, why am I even here? Mm. It doesn't feel right. The fact that EA is gone, and they're literally gone from E3 now. I mean, they packed up LA Live and they're gone. Activision has reduced down to 3 meeting rooms. You go in, you watch a video on something, you go in another room, you do an interview, they slap you on the ass and send you on your way. And that's Activision now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been saying it for months, and I'm not saying it's going to happen next year, but it's going to happen in the next few years. Sony is going to pull out of this thing and go to PlayStation Experience.
You think that the first one's out?
I think they're going to be the first ones out. Let me finish. Okay. Let me dream.
I can't see you from here, so okay. I'm like, yeah, I'll let you dream.
Well, but I know what you're about to say, but they already have the venue. Right. They already have that community that's all about them. The media already comes to San Francisco to celebrate everything PlayStation, to cover everything PlayStation. They do not need this venue of E3. If they put PlayStation Experience in July, is anyone going to complain? I don't think so.
Nope.
If anything, since the summertime, more people can go and they can make it even bigger and better. And they can still have their reveals. They can still show all their games. And if Sony pulls out, why is Microsoft staying? And when Microsoft goes, look, Nintendo's barely there as it is now. Just like you're talking about, you want to go see Zelda. I mean, that's atrocious. I refuse to go stand in that line all day to go see Zelda. I mean, I know you want to, and you want to do that. That's fine. But I want to manage my time better than them having a venue set up to where we can't even cover the one game they have there this year. You know what I mean? That's kind of ridiculous. So Nintendo's basically already out, in my opinion. Sony could be out in the next couple of years, which leaves you Microsoft and Ubisoft and Bethesda. Bethesda just showed you at the L.A. hangar they could easily do their own thing, too.
And bounce, yep. Yep.
That L.A. Live thing with the Dorito corn chips or whatever that was, that is silly to me.
Wait, you're talking about the E3 one.
E3 Live.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was trash.
The concert and just looking at that, I was like, this looks like a carnival. No. This isn't something that the video game industry should be embracing, and they're not. They're going to try that this year. Maybe they try it again next year, and then poof, gone.
Well, may I ask a question? If the video game industry, I'm going to ask it anyway. Damn it! if the video game industry shouldn't be embracing E3 Live, and the video game industry isn't embracing E3 as it currently stands right now. What should the video game industry be gravitating towards and embracing?
Well, it's funny because I've been having this conversation just the last couple of days with various people, even just shout out to Nelson Rodriguez, the old Achievement Junkie, rest in peace. We were talking about this and we both agree between social media and YouTube gaming and Twitch, you can get your message across to the mass consumer base just
for a fraction of a percentage.
Exactly.
Yep.
You hold your own event. You make it all about you. The media is going to cover it. The consumers are going to hear about it. You own the news cycle for a 2 or 3 day period versus trying to share it with all these other companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the world we're in that right now. It's not like it was back in 2007, for example, when E3 was, when you needed an E3, you needed to get everybody in one place so they could cover your games. And to me, this E3, just while we've been getting coverage, we've been getting interviews, and we've got a lot of content out there, don't get me wrong, it doesn't feel like the past E3s to me.
At all.
It just doesn't. Something about it's a little weird. Like, one thing I was even saying when we were driving up, I feel like we got more done Sunday and Monday than we did Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because there were so many pre-E3 events showing us all the games that are on the show floor during E3. So then I asked the question again, why are we having E3?
Yep. Now, so my question is to you guys.
I'm sorry. And I cut you off.
Yeah,
so
it's a tradition as it happens. Go for it.
To answer your question, Cicero, what is being done right is Gamescom in Europe. Go to Germany. Hundreds of thousands of people go through there. The public gets access to the games. The media gets access to the games. It still gets all the coverage. And the average consumer gets a chance to try out these games. I think that model works a lot better than what we're seeing here in Los Angeles right now.
Okay. But is that because of the ecosystem in Europe as opposed to the immediacy?
Well, I think Los Angeles is the wrong place to be trying to do this just because of the way LA is built and traffic and trying to maneuver. I don't think you could get hundreds of thousands of people in here conveniently.
So do you think then Vegas would probably be the best?
That's exactly what I was going to say. They need to do it. Vegas is built to
get accommodate
in and out of stuff, and accommodate. Really?
There's been rumors though that they've been thinking of moving.
Right,
to...
they've been thinking about that for the past couple of years. But with Vegas being the ultimate adult destination, is that something you really want to try and invite children to? Because, and not children, but teenagers make up a large part of your consumer base. And I mean, granted, it's gonna be the parents that are gonna be buying it for those children, but if you're going to start to try to invite those masses of consumers are going to bring their kids because that's part of why they're bringing them. Mm-hmm. Vegas is not the right joint for that.
I wonder, though, because I haven't seen any of the kind of consumer-facing stuff. You see PlayStation Experience, even at Xbox Fan Fest that you had this year. I didn't really see that demographic there. It was kind of, you know, folks who were a little bit older, maybe in their mid-20s to our ages, and those folks are kind of there spending the money to get to these things. If you open it up to that kind of bigger grouping, I don't know.
They have Evil. in Vegas every year.
I mean, it's
that's
right.
like that.
Kind of, sort of, where it's like super specific about a certain thing, but it's hard to tell. It's hard to kind of see where that those things are kind of moving in that way.
Now,
but
my question is, EA Play, was it worth it for EA?
Nope.
Depends on who you ask. If you ask EA, they're going to tell you all day long. Yeah. They're going to tell you they'll do it again next year. Simply from a financial standpoint, if you think about it, comparing the cost of a booth or a venue space, rental, power, internet, and everything else that goes along with it, advertising, and I'll throw away advertising because you're going to pay for that anyways. You throw the cost of what Los Angeles Convention Center and the ESA are charging them for that premier space up front and everything.
And in Europe, too. They had a venue over there, too.
Right. Let's just take the United States into account, not to slight our European counterparts or anything, but let's just take it for what we can experience and talk about. Mm-hmm. You take that and you compare that to what the people in, what they're paying at the Novo. They're two to three spots and a couple of hundred feet out front. That's pocket change compared to the hundreds of thousands and possibly upwards of millions that they're paying for the LA space.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to add that the main reason that EA did that was they didn't have a lot to show. It was mostly Titanfall 2, and then you had the NHL and NFL and all those games. But they didn't have, a lot of announcements. Mass Effect Andromeda, they talked about, but you couldn't even play that. I tried to play it, and it was only, VIP. But they only had two games. It was Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2. Yeah. So other than that, it wasn't.
I'm a little worried about Mass Effect, but we're going to talk about that in a few. But you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I spent a lot of time at EA Play over the course of the weekend. They had five games there. Three of them were sports games, which most people don't care about.
Except for you.
Except
for me.
Straight to Madden.
Yeah. 49-43 for Paris. So they had, they had Madden, they had FIFA, they had NHL, and for those people that care about those games, there was a lot of information there, and they were able to control their messaging and really get it out to the people. But I think EA Play was definitely worth it for EA. You think about the things that they did. They had five games there. They also had a giant tournament over the weekend there. They had ESPN2 come in for that tournament. That is not something that they would have been able to do in any capacity at the convention center. Mm-hmm. So over the course of those 3 days, it was definitely worth it for them.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Paris, let's talk about Mass Effect very quick, man, because we've been talking about this now for a couple of days, ever since the EA's press conference. And, look at that. They're staring at each other right here. Pete versus Paris. No, so let's talk about that, man. I'm a little bit worried about Mass Effect. I know you feel the same. Do you see this game coming out in 2017?
I gotta hope so. It's just to the point that I'm surprised we're still not seeing actual gameplay. I'm fine with another delay. I'm fine with if they're not releasing it until holiday 2017. But the fact that in 2016 they still can't show us real gameplay from it just makes you wonder, is it in development hell? Why did Casey Hudson leave BioWare to go to Microsoft for HoloLens? Things like that. It just makes you wonder. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not going to be a great game. Oh, not to mention, I did also see that the ending to Mass Effect 3 has no bearing on Andromeda. What did we just do then, for the past 10 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see where they're going with this. It could wind up being, I hope it winds up being one of the greatest games ever made, because that's how much I like Mass Effect. But, even Game of Thrones agrees. But, right now we just don't know anything about the game other than just these quick little, trailers and stuff like that.
So you think it's a mistake that they're not continuing the story from Shepard and everybody else and they're starting anew?
Well, I heard a rumor that it potentially Andromeda is a prequel. It's us, the first time we're venturing out of our solar system and we're establishing all these relationships with new characters. Mm-hmm. I guess that's okay, but I don't know. You would think what happened in the original Mass Effect where did the universe go after that? I think a lot of us want to know that. You know what I mean?
There's time for them to show something like that if Andromeda turns out to be a prequel. Just to be fair, I'm equally worried about and was as unenthused and unimpressed as everyone else was here about Mass Effect, except for apparently my captain over here. But to their defense, I will say if we rewind back the clock to 2007, was there a lot of footage at that 07 E3?
Yes.
For Mass Effect?
Yes.
Yes, there was.
Because I had a behind closed door thing, full demo through it, all that. In 2006, they had one.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of pessimism about the ability to get a game out now. We've seen stuff kind of get pushed back, but at this point, things are going to drop when they drop. I can understand we didn't have stuff to play, right? They put so much money, so much stuff in it. Don't you look at me like that, Pete.
No, I'm the whole patience about games coming out, and, you know, I know you're a big fan of something else that keeps being pushed back.
Whatever. AllOurSkies.com. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like, the stuff is going to drop when it drops. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. They're putting enough money behind it. I don't think EA at this point would put this amount of money behind something that's not going to come out, and it's gonna come out. It's gonna drop. It's not like it's not gonna go anywhere. It's
like I said, man. I just don't like companies announcing games and no dates.
I mean,
I talked about that with Michael Pachter, and he was like, "Look, PlayStation. Remember Agent? What happened to that game? Everybody hype. Oh man, Rockstar Games exclusive.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like I don't know. To me, forget about the hype part. Tell me the dates.
But that's different, though. And I'll put this out there real quick, too. Is like, you see that, and you have more of a point with No Man's Sky than you do with, I would say, something like Mass Effect, right?
Or, yeah.
Of course, because it's just been announced. I mean, it's less than a year into our heads.
But also, it's an established IP, right? So, like, Agent is something that just came out of nowhere. That was something that got thrown up on the wall and that they wanted to put out, but it never dropped.
They show the logo. That's about it.
I mean, but that's the thing, too. You see that, the iteration of stuff like that all the time, where things get put out and it never actually comes out. But Mass Effect is already been there for so long that it can't not come out.
I think that game is coming out early 2018. I don't see that coming out in 2018.
At the end of the day, Star Wars, you know, the Star Wars franchise did that. They gave you the first three, then they went back in time, and then, granted, I mean, yes, we're not supposed to talk about those things.
I
know, it worked out very poorly, but then Force Awakens came out.
My question to you, Danny, really quickly, though, is even if you say, okay, fine, it's going to come out and drop maybe 2018, does it make that big of a difference if you know that you're going to cop it anyway?
The thing is, okay, you're right. I don't know. No.
Mark it. 25-48.
No, the thing is, here's the thing. I feel that companies are kind of taking advantage of the gamers by hyping the product up and not saying nothing, like no dates or anything. And to me, it's like, but eventually it's coming out.
I agree.
You know, like the last, what you were going to say?
Last Guardian?
The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Dude, if it wasn't because the fans was like, where is it? They finally, okay, it's going to work. Let's do this. It's great for marketing and, you know, get some sales with places for us. So.
The entire Sony press conference was like that.
Yeah. Paris.
A couple things on that. I take the standpoint of, wouldn't you rather them not release a game if it's not going to be the experience that you expect it to be, or delay a game until they can get it to that experience you want it to be, versus, all right, we said it was going to be 2017, so we're going to put it out in 2017.
So why show it?
And then it's garbage.
Why show it if it's not ready?
Because at that time, you were expecting this concept to turn into this game. You know how game development works. I mean, look at Valve with Half-Life 3. It has been started and stopped numerous times. We know that now through the grapevine, right? So obviously Gabe and those people over there feel that they can't get it right. So they simply stop talking about it, and we won't get it. We're not getting it. They haven't talked about it even again this year. So at some point, all right, fine. Half-Life's not coming out. We move on to the next game. So I guess what I'm saying is I get what you mean. Maybe not even talk about a game until you know the concept is locked in and you have a firm date for it. Mm-hmm. But I know that that's just not how marketing works. Because they're trying to get you excited years in advance. The Bethesda model of a Fallout 4 doesn't happen every day. It's very rare.
Yeah, I think gamers have to have realistic expectations. Besides that, plus combined with the way marketing is working currently, is like you have to expect a delay at this point. Things are moving in so many different ways. New technologies are being put into everything super fast. And if you don't expect delays now at this point, you're fooling yourself to not think that it's going to happen. And also, those delays usually make your game better. They just usually make your game better.
But there's a difference between no dates and delayed. At least they're saying the game is coming out. It's coming out next year or whatever. That's fine. But when there's no dates, it's like, is it coming out?
Right.
Or this is just to hype me up.
Ubisoft's president Yves Guillemot is your best friend now because you've just said, oh, delays. That's what Ubisoft does all the time is delay everything. But you know, what I will say about that is about what Khalif said was that you delays are better. I think you're absolutely right. But like, you know, if we just contrast Sony and Microsoft from Sunday, Sony put on a better show.
Oh, hands down.
The show was amazing. But Microsoft gave me more tangible things for me to be excited about this year, you know, between now and the next E3, if there is a next E3. I know that there is stuff that I will be able to play and only be able to play in the Xbox Play Anywhere family from Microsoft, whereas from Sony, I'm most likely going to get The Last Guardian and maybe No Man's Sky, maybe. Mm. But that's it. And if I spend $400, on PSVR, I'll have a bunch of other games to play.
All right. So what else we could talk about?
I have something that I want to talk about because I want to backtrack. Sorry, Pete.
Yes.
go for it, man. I want to go back because we were having this conversation in the drive over here. Mm. I don't think I want to go to press conferences anymore.
Mm.
I think I can do a better job covering the press conferences sitting at home or in a studio or wherever. Because the reason I bring that up, we're at the apartment watching the Ubisoft conference. That was a vastly superior experience than having to stand in line that whole time, get stuck with 450-degree heat on one side of me like I was at Bethesda. like I couldn't even focus on the press conference because I'm like, Jesus, just hurry. I don't care about the games anymore. Just hurry it up and end it because I want to get out of this uncomfortable situation. Yeah. It's like we don't manage our time as well as we possibly could. Right. And look, I always say, if this is your first time coming to E3 and all kind of stuff, absolutely have that experience of going to the press conferences. But when you get old and bitter and jaded like I am, mm-hmm. I don't need to do that anymore. Let me, like Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb doesn't go. They watch it at the studio or whatever apartment house that they have here in LA, mm-hmm. and then commentate on it from there. Mm-hmm. I just think to truly get proper reporting of everything that we're seeing, we should be in a controlled environment versus the mass chaos of standing in line the whole time.
Will you go to the Sony and Microsoft too? Or
I could see those, but like, look at what we even do for Microsoft. We get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to a 9:30 press conference. We could have slept in. We could have had some prep. We could have had everything laid out on what we wanted to do and had like immediate response coverage from that. We could have had commentary going live on Twitch or something as we're watching, right. Things like that versus we're actually there. Mm-hmm. I think like for us, we're small, so it's only three people. But, you know, let's say all of us, it's like nine of us in here right now. I'm just guessing a number. But you send one or two people to the actual press conference while everyone else stays back and we commentate on it.
Yeah,
I think that works a lot better. And like I said, I'm getting old and I get bothered and angry. And I don't need to be.
You're right, dude.
Things.
Like, we were feeling that way the whole week. We're like, should we go to Ubisoft? And like,
yeah, because like we didn't go to the PC. We didn't go to Ubisoft.
And thanks for the invites. Like,
it's
like, is it worth it now? You know, like you said,
you mentioned earlier, I think that experience of being there for God of War when they announced that with the whole orchestra and everything, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but was it worth being in the heat? Standing the whole time waiting to get to it and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, like I said, I think it's something everyone should experience once or twice. After that, it should be completely optional.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that we had a blast and we got a lot of coverage, we went to like a... The thing that I liked, though, was that we went to a pre-E3 Ubisoft event. And we got more content from that than attending the press conference. Right. You know,
I think that's the times when you want to have the public at these kinds of events. Let them go to these press conferences. So that, because that's the thing too, is like we all as journalists and people who are covering this stuff, the people who are there, they're not excited in the same ways all the time. They're usually not excited.
There are certain people that are in the industry that are very excited. I'm not even talking, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about people doing the wave.
Yeah,
in by the orchestra seats.
Yeah, and I mean, shots fired. But I mean, I think it would be one of those things where. If you had those people there and those are the folks who took up all that stuff, like Xbox Fans Fest, again, like they do a really good job of bringing people in and letting those people get that experience that they're not going to get at home through a stream. Mm-hmm. And those people are hyped, and those are people who will kind of, you know, push your message along.
3 minutes. 3 minutes and we can wrap it up.
You were gonna say wanted to talk about disappointments, things we didn't see at E3 this year.
Red Dead.
Yeah, that's probably...
I don't know if I do have something. I'm not, you know, I'm disappointed because I feel like we covered everything. There wasn't really anything as exciting. I wasn't looking forward to anything exciting this year.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that was expected or teased potentially but never showed up?
Was there anything red or dead? That was
maybe that had some redemption, you know? Right.
I was really hoping to see something for Assassin's Creed, even though Ubisoft's like they're not releasing something. Right. But I thought it would be like a snippet, a leak, something.
Well, at least you got a movie trailer.
Yes, I know. But yeah. I was mostly excited for the Microsoft console. You know, the new slim Xbox One. That's what I was excited for.
VR? No, you're good with VR? Okay. All right.
Any surprises?
Spider-Man. PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, that was mic drop in my opinion. What? Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm saying that to me was like the biggest surprise of E3, hands down.
Mine was like Pyre. Pyre was really dope. I got a chance to play that.
Vampire?
No, Pyre.
Oh,
Pyre from
Supergiant
Games.
Yeah, that's right. Supergiant.
I got a chance to do that, and Injustice 2. I'm buying that day one.
All right, go for it, Paris.
I'm gonna be grumpy grandpa again, and say that. Part of the issue with this E3 of the lack of surprises or disappointments or whatever is
leaks.
90% of the stuff got leaked. We already knew the Xbox Slim was coming. We already knew about all these games and stuff. They got leaked prior to the press conferences and everything. So there was no real, oh my God, I didn't know this was coming moment. We knew about Scorpio. We knew about Spider-Man. That got leaked. That's really?
I didn't know. That was to me.
In keeping with the Sony thing, why did we not see anything about Last of Us 2?
You were not going to see that after Uncharted just shipped. Right. Naughty Dog's not going to talk about their next game for at least another year.
You know what? I think what was a surprise was at Bethesda, Quake. Quake, opening the show.
Miss Leo disagrees, boy.
in your head, you predicted it. Rightfully so, you predicted it. But I think that even you were shocked that you were right.
I will never admit that.
In keeping with the Bethesda theme, when they did the pre-boot up screen, they showed a whole bunch of their titles, you know, release dates, 92, 94, blah, blah, blah. New Colossus was thrown in there with asterisks in the date. Is that a new IP? Is that a new Wolfenstein title? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people caught that, but if you watch it, like when they did that little boot up, it had every single title that they've ever dropped with a release date, whether it was present or past, and there it was, New Colossus, asterisks for dates. Hell, they even had BE3 with that day's date on it, you know, for their directory of stuff for the show. What is that? Like, what? That was kind of like a little Easter egg. Like, were you paying attention? Where did it go? What is it? Give me more. Now, that's the one that got me, like, got the ears perked up. And like, ooh, what you got there?
It was funny, too, because Prey was it? Prey?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Prey.
Prey was a joint. And also, I like how they snuck in VR for Bethesda, too.
Yes.
That was real dope how they snuck that in. Super sly.
What, the Fallout joint?
Yeah, like, they were like, and it's because it's branded their stuff, Bethesda VR. Yeah, right. I was like, oh, okay, that's a little bit different. That's a big get that they got. That was a huge get.
The Vive, that was a huge get for the Vive.
Yeah.
That Fallout 4 is going to be Vive exclusive. Mm-hmm. That was big. That was really big.
Now, what is it you guys going to check out tomorrow, very quick?
Khalif?
Oh, man. I'm going to check out Mafia. Mafia tomorrow.
Mafia.
Yep.
Yeah. Great yeah. booth, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. they have the best booth yeah. on V4.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to check out some more indies. Sony didn't talk about any indies at the conference, but they have a lot of indies on the floor.
I definitely want to check that out.
So, yeah, so I'm going to check out a bunch of indies. And I've got some other appointments with Rich Taylor from ESA.
Oh, Rich. Yeah. Shout out to Rich, man.
Yeah, shout out to Rich.
Pete, any games you're going to check out tomorrow?
Looking forward to, I think we're doing a booth tour for Ubisoft. Oh, so yeah. We're going to get a whole, we got a couple of hours there. So we're going to be hopefully getting a chance to see most, if not all, of what they have to show. Was it Fractured But Whole? Looks kind of interesting. Yes. Obviously, yes. Ghost Recon is going to be the big elephant in the room. Kind of interested in this in that extreme skiing jumpsuit thing, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah, it's
Star Trek 2.
What is it called? Mm-hmm. Skeet? No.
No, come on, really? Skeet. And you're going to give me crap for what I said at the beginning of the show? Mark that, 40 minutes and 45 seconds. God. He just ethered himself.
See, it's called stuff that black people don't do.
Mona, what about you?
Like what Peter said, I'm really excited for Ghost Recon. I want to try that one out. Mm-hmm. And the Zelda.
Yeah. Zelda, all right.
Super excited for that.
You can move the mic. I'll edit. All right.
What I'm looking forward to tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
Star Trek VR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Star Trek VR.
Cool. All right. And
oh, also, I got one more that I'm super dope amped for, and it's not even E3 related. Far Side.
Oh, yeah. Far Side is tomorrow night. What? That's for Hip Hop Ed. So.
What? Wait a minute. Y'all going to see the Far Side?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, son. What's
sold out.
Yo, son.
It's a sold out show. Sold out show.
$5 tickets.
$5 tickets.
What? Son. Okay. Yeah. Y'all are whack, son. I mean, I realize y'all got me in the studio. I'm really appreciative. But yo.
I got to tell you a little story.
Yo, we done.
All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. And check out our show, post some comments there, and head over to play.it /gamertag. Share with your friends. Share it, and give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. And Pete is dancing, looking at me, very awkward, but okay. And also, you can email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.